Holy Father, morning. Our plans to be held, but the Lord has been faithful. So I'm glad to be here again. I also want to apologize. I don't have my vision is changing, and I don't have my new glasses. So I'm going to use my tablet this morning. So, you know, some people might not like too many electronics, but any bigger words. But first, I wanted to thank the Lord for his faithfulness. You know, every time I get to be with the people of God, it's a privilege, and I feel more encouraged to keep fighting this fight, to keep pressing along. I want to also thank the saints here. You know, a year ago, I started in the academy, and here it is, a year later, I passed my probation at my new job, and the Lord has been very faithful, and I appreciate the prayers of the saints. So the Lord gave me a thought a while ago. I didn't know, one, like I said, I did not know I'd be in Fresno today. And this morning, we'll talk about pardon my handwriting, I told y'all before. It ain't great. Holding the truth in unrighteousness. A while back, the Lord was dealing with me about this thought, and I've been meditating on it for quite some time and chewing on it and what it means. And so we'll start off in Romans, the first chapter. We're just going to read the main text of this scripture, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Excuse me. That's where all of these are. There we go. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Mm-hmm. We'll drop down and read verse 19 as well. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shewed it unto them. So we're going to talk about holding the truth in unrighteousness. It says the wrath of God is against this, meaning God does not approve one of unrighteousness. So therefore, we must know what unrighteousness is, but we also must know what righteousness is. So Strong's Dictionary says righteousness is integrity, virtue, purity of life, rightness, correctness of thinking, and acting. There is a desire of God to pull out the unrighteous nature that is in mankind from the beginning, to take it out of him, and to transform us into living a life that is wholly acceptable unto him. So unrighteousness is a deed violating law and justice. It's acts of unrighteousness. It's anything that goes against what God has set up for us to be doing. And ungodliness, it says, want of reverence toward God in piety. Ungodliness. Want of reverence toward God. That word want does not mean a desire to have. It means a lack thereof. There is a lack of reverence to whom God is. So I was thinking about this, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And then I started thinking about, well, what does that look like? What does it look like to hold the truth of God in unrighteousness? Well, first we have to determine what is truth. What did the writer say? Thy word is truth. The word of God, that is what is true.
Yeah.
So to take the word of God And to hold it in a standard that is anything less than where the Lord put it is unrighteousness. So I started thinking about some of the, a particular group of people, and I'm going to say this, I don't plan to be here before you long, we'll breeze right through this, but turn with me to Luke, the 18th chapter. We'll talk about these two people here. Luke 18:9-14. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now, first of all, there's a problem already.
Yes.
He spoke it unto a group of people that already viewed themselves as having righteousness. The scripture also tells us that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Righteousness of ourself amounts to nothing. It is poor. It is powerless. It doesn't mean a thing. But yet we're living in a world where many people would like to string up that I'm righteous, I'm holy, I'm this, I'm that. You know, we can have a viewpoint of ourselves that is not how God sees us.
Right.
We can have a viewpoint of ourselves that that's not how the world views us. You know, man thinks highly of himself.
True. We
can have a habit of being able to look at other people and see the faults that they have, see the impurities, the imperfections, and we'll stand there and we'll say, oh, I'm so much better than them. But what did the Lord say? I believe it's in a lot of people in the world like to quote it. Matthew, I believe the 7th chapter says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what measure of judgment you'll judge? It goes on to say, how can you judge someone and you have this in your eye and that in your eye? That's the judgment of the unrighteous. We like to sit there and point out, you do this, you do that, while not looking at, oh, I'm doing the same thing, but maybe in a different way. Maybe I'm doing that same thing, you're going at it this way, and it's unrighteous, but I'm coming this way. And the point is, we're both going to meet up eventually at the point of unrighteousness.
True.
So, these men trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice the week in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him, we'll stop there, verse 14, pardon me. So here you have this man, he comes and he says, I fast. That's scripture. It's something we are to do. And so he's right. Yes, he fasts twice a week. But are we supposed to be walking about boasting about our fasting? Are we supposed to try to make people have respect or maybe pity? I'm so hungry. I'm fasting. Don't mind. Sorry. Oh. Is that how we're to go about our fast? But this man came out and he says,
I fast twice in the week.
I tithe. Well, we're supposed to, the scripture says, what, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse? I'm doing what I'm told to do. I'm told to give of my money. I'm told to give of myself. I'm doing just that. But in the while, pointing at, that man over there, oh, I'm so much better because of this, because of that. He was holding his own standards, yes. His own righteousness. Yes, we're told to do these things. Yes, we're told, but our between us and the Lord. I don't have to go around telling everybody that I do this. I don't have to go around trying to hang my righteousness on a clothesline for everybody else to see. If we would just live a true life of God, if we would just live the way that he is requiring of us, the scripture says that a gift will make room for itself. The righteousness of God is given. It'll make room for itself. We don't need to go around telling everybody that I'm this, I'm that, I'm so great a saint. I wear long sleeves all the time. I don't believe in going to the doctor. These are biblical things.
Yeah.
These are doctrinal things. I do believe those things. I do believe in dressing modestly. I do believe in, but my righteousness is not so wrapped up in that I have to go around telling everybody, this is what I do. And if we're not careful, we can start holding the doctrines of God in a way that would not bring light to them. If we're not careful, we could bring a we've always heard make the way attractive. Mm-hmm. You know, we could really bring shame to the cause of Christ when we stand out in the corner of the street and try to proclaim, I do this, I do that. Have to be very careful not to try to use what the Lord has given us to condemn other people. But the things that the Lord gives us sometimes, there are things that are for everybody. Then we have what we call personal convictions.
Yes.
And those personal things are what the Lord has dealt with us on. And we have a responsibility when the Lord deals with us to obey that which the Lord has called us to. Again, it boils down to our relationship between us and Christ. It doesn't include anybody else. We don't have to try to force them on anybody else. As this Pharisee can. What did Jesus say about these people? Outwardly, you're shining, you're glimmering, you look like you're measuring up in truth, but inwardly, you're full of dead man's bones. You're worthless. I have no use of you. You're dead. But this man, the publican, he came and he realized and stated, I'm nothing. I'm a sinner. That's what I am. I have faults. I have failures. I've done things to people that are ungodly. I've done things. So, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And yet, he is the one that went away justified.
Yeah.
Although the other person was the one that was fasting and tithing, going to service like they should, doing all these things like they should, inwardly being full of dead man's bones. Where does that leave us today?
Oh, Lord.
The Lord help us to have a carefulness as we walk through life, as we're endeavoring to move from this point to heaven. May the Lord help us to sing the song, Ever Keep Heaven in View. Talk a little bit more about this Pharisee man. Proverbs 16:18. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. At the center of the Pharisees, at the center of the world is pride. At the center of holding their righteousness. He mentioned that I'm righteous. He's lifting himself up. Pride is detrimental. Pride does it's like a cancer. It will ruin us. Pride goeth before our destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29 and 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble spirit.
Yes.
Think about that publican. He acknowledged what he really was and where he truly was living. And the Lord said, this man walked away justified. We have a responsibility to God to deny ourselves, our will, our desires, our ways, and to put to death the works of the flesh, to not allow them to rule in our body, to put them to death. Yet the religious man here could not do that. The religious man wanted to air it out. What are the works of the flesh? I don't have it down here, but I believe it's Galatians, the fifth chapter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness. That word uncleanness says a whole lot.
Yes.
It's less than where the Lord is requiring of us to be. The Lord is whom sets the standard. His word is what we're going to be judged by.
That's right.
When we get to the end of the way, we're not going to be judged according to what we say we do. We're not going to be judged according to even whom we might view as the barely making it in Christian. We're going to be judged by the word of God. And if our lives don't measure up to that standard, we're going to be lost in every way. We're not going to get to the end and he's going to say, you know what? You're lacking here. That's the only area that you failed me. And I'm just going to let go ahead, go on in. We're going to be judged by his word.
Yes.
And so if we're going to be judged by the word of God, again, we must know what the word says. And I often quoted the scripture in Timothy says, study to show yourselves approved, the workman unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're going to have to dig deep. We're going to have to spend time in his word studying to see what is it that he is requiring of us. Because a lot of people say, oh, there's nothing wrong with a little pride. There's nothing. We can have it. I remember when I was singing at my school choir, my choir director said something about pride, and I said, well, I didn't quite agree with him. Oh, there's nothing wrong with pride. He's a music director at his church. He, to the world, he obviously would know something. He's in a position of authority, and he's, well, there's nothing wrong with pride. You know, there's many people out in the world that are proclaiming the name of Christ that are saying these things are okay. We can have this on hand. You know, boils down to what did the Berean people do?
That's right.
Are we willing to do what they did? What did they do? Who knows?
They studied.
They heard what the apostle said, and they said, we're just going to live what he told us to live. No, they went home and they sought it out to see if it were true. Is this what I'm required to do? Is this the requirement of God on our life?
Yes.
Is this his standard? Is this his doctrine? We have a responsibility to obey the doctrines of Christ. Every single, I believe it's in 1 John that says, or maybe Revelation, talks about taking away or adding to this book. Everything that's in here is needful for our soul. It is needed to get us from point A here to point B, glory. That's the desire.
That's right.
But I've said before, we have the answers. There's not going to be, we're not going to come down to the end of the way, and it's not going to be a master test we're going to have to take, and there's going to be some trick questions on there. No, the Bible gives us the answers for what is needful for eternal life. But we have to have respect for it. We have to put it in its proper place. We can't misuse the word of God against. Well, people like to try to use it for their vantage point. Well, I'm going to use it. Well, this scripture says right here that this, that, and the other. You're not doing that. Like to twist the scriptures. Who else tried to twist the scriptures?
Satan.
Who did he try to twist the scriptures to?
Us.
Jesus. Who is the word? He tried. He tried to go straight to him. Talk about holding the truth and unrighteousness. What were some of the temptations that he tried to get the Lord with? Lord was fasting. Oh, we talked about that already with the Pharisees. And what did he say? Turn that stone into bread. A man cannot eat, live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what the Lord responded to him with. What was the next one? Cast thyself down and the angels will bear thee up.
Yeah.
Each bow down to me and I will. All these things. Talk about holding the truth and unrighteousness.
Yeah.
Talk about messing up the scriptures.
Yes.
And if we're not careful, if we're not studying to show ourselves approved, the enemy can try to come along and trip us up with the word of God. The enemy will come along, and if you haven't been reading like you should, you've been lackadaisical in your devotions, you've just abandoned, well, I'm too tired, I have this, I got this that I have to do today, I'll deal with reading later. You know, it'll be real easy. Well, David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." So it's in my heart. I don't have to study today. And then the enemy comes along.
Yeah.
And starts talking to you. There's another scripture that comes to my mind. I'm sorry, I don't have all these written down. But there's another scripture that comes to mind about the enemy changing himself into an angel of light. And if we're not careful, if we're not mindful and paying attention, we'll be tripped up just like that. Enemy comes along and starts trying to mix up the scriptures. Oh yeah, the word did say that. Yeah. Be angry and sin not. Oh yeah, I believe. And then next thing you know, we're real angry. Yeah, it says be angry and sin not, but is that the way the Lord intended us to just walk through and just, I can be angry, I just can't. is that how the enemy wants us to perceive the scripture?
Yeah.
You have to be careful. God's righteousness is just that, it's his. It's not ours. It's not Satan's. He'll try to trip us up. That's why we have to be careful.
Yes.
That's why we have to seek out his will, his way, his desire in our life. That's why we have to have a personal relationship. The scripture says to work out our own salvation. Oh, that's it. That's all it says. Work out our own salvation. Is that all this says?
No.
With fear and trembling, with respect, mm-hmm. and a carefulness trouble. Because you know, sometimes we might get a thought, oh, I think that was from the Lord. It might be a good thought. But that just might be just it, our thought. We have to be careful to make sure, well, that, okay, is this from the Lord? Is this the enemy? Is this my thoughts? What's going on here? We have to be very careful. It's so easy to get mixed up if we're not watching and praying, because we have an enemy as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. If we're not careful, he might catch us on one of those days when we're slipping. May the Lord help us to always look to him, to always have, be watchful.
Yes.
Always be prayerful. Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. May the Lord help us to, as we are going through life, as we are navigating through the course in which God has set up for us, that we will be looking diligently, looking carefully, making sure that we're putting the oracles and doctrines of God in the right place in our lives, making sure that we are not mixing in, it says a little leaveneth lump, making sure we're not trying to mix ourselves in with the doctrines of Christ, making sure that it is his. We don't want to be as the Pharisees. We don't want to just be going along and fanaticism. We don't want to just go along and be, well, I do this, I do that, I do this. Here are the rules of do's and don'ts. This is what I'm required. That's not righteousness.
No.
That is not the place. That is not what God has ordained and set up in his church. Looking diligently, looking carefully, making sure that he is the one leading us. He is the one guiding us in all matters of truth, in all matters of righteousness. Otherwise, it says many be defiled.
Yes.
Think of the scripture that says that many will come and say to me, Lord, Lord, in that day, and I'm going to say, depart from me, I know you not. How sad would that be to be going through navigating life? I hate to keep coming back to Pharisees, but that's the example the Lord has given us this morning. But to imagine to be going through life just as those men were, thinking, I'm this, I'm that. I have everything lined up. This is what the Bible, this is what God requires of me. And then to come down to the end of the way and then to hear those dark, dreary, heavy words, depart from me, because I know you not. You didn't have respect for my word. There was no weight to my word in your life. You did not hold the truth of the gospel. You did not hold the truth of the gospel in righteousness. You were using the truth of the gospel to put people in bondage. You're using the truth of the gospel as a whip, but the truth of the gospel, not the way it should be used. That would be, of course, they would know that at the end. Get to the end. You'll know why. You'll know what happened.
Yeah.
You know why you're found guilty. But just imagine. I don't know if how it's going to be in the judgment, but just imagine, you know, you're all there, and maybe we see who's going to get in and who ain't going to get in. Just imagine you navigated all this life with this lie that I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and you're the one in front of everybody that has to turn around and walk away.
Walk the other direction.
That would be pretty devastating, I think I heard. May the Lord help us to hold his truth in the proper place. We'll close in 1 John 5:17. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. All unrighteousness is detrimental. All unrighteousness will in the end, will separate us from God. And hell is a place where God is not. It's a place that is full of suffering. It is a place that just darkness. Darkness, despair. May the Lord help us to have respect for what he has declared for our lives. To reverence him, his word, his way. To not try to speak of ourselves any higher. We've always heard, don't testify higher than you're living. Testify right where you're living. And with the expectation, Lord, I'm desiring to go higher in you, but not to be at the, I'm doing this and that and the other, and during the week you're really down here and you're just trudging along trying to make it. But to take the righteousness of God, the righteousness of his word, and to apply it daily into our lives, seeking his will, seeking his way, seeking to die to self, seeking to die to what I think. Scripture said every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Seeking to find the path that God has for us. That should be our desire. That should be our aim. Begin praying that I be faithful.